the Matt Bubala Show on 720 WGN. So let's talk about the first 100 days. Joining us on the phone right now is Matt Hummer. He's the director of analytics at Gavini. Matt, thanks for jumping on the phone with us.
Sure, Matt. Great to be with you.
What is Gavini?
So Gavini is actually a big data business intelligence platform serving primarily government contractors who do business with the government.
Okay. And so you guys, so here's some information on what could happen in the first 100 days, because you're studying all the different government contracts that are out there. $406 billion in expiring federal contracts coming up over the course of 2017 or expiring right now?
So that's coming over the course of 2017. And the way we identified that is we went across 2 million contracts and associated documents to really identify and pinpoint all the opportunities that agencies will have to leverage or reorient the agency missions towards these new agendas that the Trump administration is putting forward.
We've heard a lot in the last week or so about things that could get cut out right away, National Endowment for the Arts, things like that. Of this $406 billion, do you feel a lot of it will be targeted as thought of as wasteful spending or things where we don't need to spend money as he tries to cut the budget and how much we're spending on things?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think with the administration, all the heads of agencies coming into office and trying to do as much as they can in the first 100 days, these expiring business agreements between the agencies themselves and the industry serving them are going to be an opportunity to renegotiate all the motives underpinning the work that the industry does for the agencies, and they'll definitely take advantage of that opportunity.
I have to ask you the funny question here, Matt. Where are we starting the 100 days at? Did they start on Friday, or since they're taking the weekend off, do we start on Monday? Are you going to be fair and throw an extra 2 days at the end, or how's that going to work?
Well, I think the way Trump was approaching his transition was that he had a strategy to have people in place, at least a handful of folks at each agency, starting now. And we heard from the agency secretaries during most of their confirmation hearings that a lot of them, one of the first things that they're going to do is do a full review of all the spending that goes on at this agency. And this report showcases a lot of the opportunity or what's actually there.
How much money do you think can get cut out of government contracts? How much do you think realistically, because I think every president comes into office with great ideas about what they want to do, right? And we were elected and here's our ideas, and then they come to reality of, well, certain things kind of need to get spent and we can't exactly cut all of that out. And we have Congress and everybody else kind of getting in our way on certain things. So what do you realistically see happening in the next 100 days?
That's exactly right. So the methodology behind our approach to analyzing the body of spending in the federal government was to really highlight the agencies that have a lot of flexibility in reprogramming, is what we call it, or shifting around money. There's stuff that's been budgeted, there's stuff that's already been contracted, and they're multi-year programs. You can't really move it around. But we identified a handful of agencies that have a lot of flexibility and ability to reorient those dollars. And one of them stands out actually is the Department of State. They're very well positioned to drive immediate change on behalf of the Trump administration for two reasons, really. A large share of their annual spending is actually expiring through these contracts in 2017. And the competitive contractor landscape at that agency is very ferocious. There's a lot of people wanting to do business with state. So the Department of State, as it reorients, as the president said, towards combating ISIL, away from things like climate change and other agreements and partnerships with nations, this is something that they're going to take a look at and move forward on.
And I know they're going to take a look at this and look forward. Do you think that realistically that they're going to be able to cut as much as they would like to, or in the end will they find that there's a lot of money that probably does need to be spent on certain things?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think going through with a scalpel is definitely something that they're going to want to do. They're going to find that some of the things that they would ideally like to cut probably can't or shouldn't be. But again, this kind of analysis, a deep dive on all the spending, what they're spending on, with who and why, is all going to be available to the administration as they go forward and make these decisions.
What do you see over the next 100 days happening? Would you guess that You know, there are huge cuts made. Would you guess it's the I guess the areas where Trump's campaign most wants to, you know, cut what they would term wasteful spending, humanities and the arts, and just things that are extraneous or deals with other nations? Is it going to be just, you know, we'll keep spending the money here and cut everything else that we can most easily?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a couple things that are going to take center stage. Clearly, repeal and replace of the Affordable Care Act at HHS. And that agency in particular was identified by our research as one very well suited and positioned to redirect a lot of the funding. Actually, under the Obama years, spending at that agency increased by 63.6%. However, there'll be some other agencies that aren't as prominent in the Trump campaign pillar, like the Department of Education, the Department of Labor, EPA. These agencies will see a slow but silent, probably pruning of the activity that they've been doing, not only on the regulatory side, but also on the spending. Department of Education is a very interesting situation where a lot of their spending goes to administering the federal student aid program. The president has called for turning a lot of that responsibility over to the private sector, and so there's a lot of risk in the ecosystem of contractors and other folks that are currently providing that service directly to the government.
Do you see any agencies completely shutting down? Governor Perry wanted to shut down his agency when he was running for president. Do you see any place where they say, you know what, we can streamline this and move what's necessary under another area?
Yeah, completely shutting down an agency is going to be a challenge. That takes an act from Congress. Also, in addition to the Department of Energy, that would be particularly hard to shut down completely unless they move the responsibility of managing the 19 huge national federal labs to some other agency. Mm-hmm. One fact that maybe most people don't know is that agency is actually responsible for managing places like Sandia National Labs, Oak Ridge, all these huge institutions that employ thousands of people to direct and orient the research of our country. So if DOE does in fact get shut down, that responsibility would probably have to move to another agency.
And what about military spending? Do you think that there will be huge cuts in military spending?
So military spending is interesting. Trump himself has called for increased spending, particularly in Navy. He wants to increase the fleet size of our naval fleet to 355 ships from 308. So there's going to be a lot of emphasis on Navy. However, our report identified actually Army as a very strong place for rebuilding to take place, as he mentioned in his inaugural address. Under the Obama administration, contract spending at Army actually declined 50.1%. So expect Army to be a source of growth for a lot of the Trump administration as it rebuilds and retools a lot of its defense policy.
It's going to be very interesting. I guess, I mean, you know, we have to wait and see what the reports come back and how things look. Do you see, you know, President Trump has spoken a lot in the run-up to his inauguration about overspending and needing to cut the deficit and cut all these things. And I think that often when people run for president, run for any office, they have ideas like we all do about how things should work better, and then they get more involved and see a lot of the nuances of why things are certain ways and things don't happen quite as much. Do you think that overall we're going to be able to cut a lot, or because of other promises we also make? You know, President Trump has talked a lot about our failing infrastructure and we need to spend the money at home and bring back factories. And, you know, if we cut certain deals with companies to help keep them there, that's going to cost money, things like that. Overall, do you think it is possible in the America we live in right now for us to cut a lot of spending, or do you think it's more going to be a shifting of where the spending is truly going?
I think the latter, Matt. It's going to be a shifting of where the spending is going. If you think about a lot of the mixed messaging that we're seeing from both parties specifically the Republicans, is there's not a lot of appetite to really balloon the federal spending levels. But then we also hear folks saying that there's a lot of waste in government, and that was one of the platforms that propelled Donald Trump to the presidency. So in his administration, prior to taking the oath of office today, he actually has been finding ways to pinpoint that. So I think it's going to be mostly the latter. They're going to go through each agency with a scalpel, understand what's priority, what's not, and they're going to find a way to ditch and reorient a lot of the money towards the priorities that really align to the message that got them elected, which is rebuilding infrastructure, creating jobs, rebuilding the military back to a strength that's capable of adhering to all the commitments we're making across the world, and primarily defeating ISIS. Those are the things that he'll likely focus on.
And the general idea, I guess, is ISIS is not a, you know, if we're truly going to defeat ISIS, if we're going to stop at all costs to defeat ISIS, that is not a small price to pay financially, right?
Right, exactly. And I think, you know, we'll see what military strategy comes out of this administration. Up until now, and especially prior towards recent years, is we were taking a very reactive approach to dealing with ISIS. Within Washington, they refer to it as responding, or they call it whack-a-mole, where, you know, if there's a threat that comes up, you just respond. But there's going to have to be a very strategic approach to countering ISIS. And it may even involve land forces, more than the special forces that our country has already committed. And again, I think Army clearly is well positioned for that response, but they're going to have to deliberately think through that, of course.
And that's going to be tough to, you know, cut a lot of spending if we're going to build more ships for the Navy, if we're going to send people if we're going to put boots on the ground. I mean, I think a lot of what got President Obama elected was getting out of wars. And, you know, that had its own problems that came with it. And now we have these issues with ISIS. And like you said, we're fighting a very defensive front on that, right? Just trying to do what we can. And it's a very tough battle to fight. And it'll be interesting to see how President Trump goes about it over his first 100 days and over the next 4 years. Matt Hummer, Director of Analytics at Gavini, Gavini.com. And you can follow them on Twitter at Gavini News on Twitter. Matt Hummer, thank you so much for being with us.
Sure thing, Matt. Great to be with you.
A flurry of executive actions and some pages scrubbed from the White House website. It's going to be a very interesting first 100 days. Matt Bubala with you, 720 WGN.